Welcome to Medi-Call episode 215. I'm Corey. Here's Daryl.
Yo.
We're going to do a short one today because not a whole lot on the docket. We don't have a whole new set to talk about that's been spoiled, but we do have some new spoilers. So it seems that in the last couple weeks, every time we've tuned in here for a podcast, it's been like we've got to like do an entire set review, and it just feels weird to only have a couple of new cards to talk about today. So yeah. That said, we do have a brand new historic anthology, and I definitely want to talk about that. And Daryl's certainly got some updates on his list. I've got some lists to share with you guys, but 30 minutes, that's our challenge. We're going to keep it to the 30-minute challenge. So this is a nice, succinct, bite-size, fun size, if you will. You know why they call those candy bars fun size?
Because they're fun to eat?
Because they want to feed you lies. They want to feed you lies. They're not fun to eat. They're small. What, you are always left wanting more. Anyways, special thank you to our sponsors, manatraders.com. You can use the promo code cardknocklifepodcast_5YB. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Use that for 14% off your first 3 months at checkout. Once again, that is cardknocklifepodcast, all one word, _5YB. If you can't handle remembering that, I will conveniently leave it in the show notes for you to pick up and copy and paste at your leisure.
It's a good idea, because I don't remember
it. 5YB. Five youthful basset hounds. Five youthful boys.
You've asked me to engage my brain too much.
I'm going to have to come up with something that helps that, you know, a little mnemonic device for that. But currently I have nothing. So stay tuned next week. Anyways, let's start with these spoilers, Daryl. We got two Strixhaven spoilers, two Hogwarts School of Wizardry spoilers, if you will. And they're Planeswalkers. Which one do you want to do? I'm going to do one, you do one, and we'll battle. We'll argue on behalf of our Planeswalker for which one's better. You get to pick first.
I'm going to take the blue-green one.
Damn it. All right, go ahead. Tell us about it.
I have to find it first.
Oh, I can do it for you.
I have it. Cosmina Enigma Sage. Each other Planeswalker you control has the loyalty abilities of Cosmina Enigma Sage. For one green blue, it comes in with two loyalty. It's +2 scry one, -X, create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token, put X/1/1 counters on it. All right.
Fractal.
We have -8 search your library for an instant sorcery or planeswalker, or instant or sorcery card that shares a color with this planeswalker. Exile that card, then shuffle. You may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, I mean, seems good.
The thing about this that's going to be amazing is that all of your planeswalkers can potentially do these things.
Yeah,
because of the fact that they are planeswalkers and Cosmina has that text. So that will be very good over the course of time. But that's just my opinion on it, man.
Yeah, I mean. The plus, like having a +2 on all of your planeswalkers that are played alongside this is like a good way to be like, oh, cool, I can like take this thing up. And there are some planeswalkers that don't have any pluses at all. There aren't a ton of them, but like the Elspeth, right? I think that one's all minuses. So that paired with Cosmina, I mean, there's no ultimate or anything that you're really taking up to, but this kind of like breaks their like. They have their own balancing going on in that most of them have like only +1 so that they can't ultimate too fast, but Cosmina kind of allows you to sort of skip some steps then. And this coming down on turn 3 means that like you can kind of set up a little 1-2 punch with it.
Yeah.
Interesting that it creates fractal tokens. That ability isn't terribly exciting. I think most often you're just going to go minus one and put a 1-1 blocker into play, but
I mean, so you're talking about it from the game perspective, and I'm looking at it from like a person design perspective, and I just, it's chef's kiss, because you know what, fractals are very schooly, so I'm very happy that they made fractal tokens.
Yeah, so this is the first time we're seeing Cosmina, so that's pretty sweet. I mean, the first time outside of the War of the Spark that we were seeing Cosmina, excuse me.
Yeah.
The other one, okay, so that's your Planeswalker. So I've got Professor Onyx then in that case, and Professor Onyx is Liliana, legendary Planeswalker Liliana. So I don't know if that's to imply that Liliana's last name is Onyx, or is, I suppose it's like Vess, right? But what does this mean, Onyx, Professor Onyx? I don't know.
Yeah, no clue.
I don't get it. But maybe that's her nickname, or that's what the kids call her, or whatever. I don't know, Professor Onyx. Four black for a 5 loyalty Planeswalker. It's got a static ability. We're going to come back to that. +1, you lose 1 life. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put one of them in your hand and the rest in your graveyard. That's pretty freaking good. -3, each opponent sacrifices a creature with the greatest power among creatures that player controls. All right. That does say each opponent. Good for Commander. -8, each opponent may discard a card. If they don't, they lose 3 life. Repeat this process 6 more times. So all of that is really powerful. Pretty damn good for a 6 loyalty Planeswalker. But tack on to that, that it has a Magecraft ability. This is a keyword mechanic in Strixhaven, which honestly is a little concerning to me because of what comes next here. Whenever you cast a copy an instant or sorcery spell, which I assume is what Magecraft refers to, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. If the keyword is whenever you copy or cast an instant or sorcery spell, how is there not some kind of like broken nonsense going on here? Yeah.
The answer is there's always some sort of bad thing that's happening when you use those words.
Yeah. I mean, you need like a repeatable combo to like actually do anything with that. This is kind of like the payoff for that. But this, like, these cards seem to. Yeah, I guess
the confusing part for me is you don't really ever usually see that in black.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But that's the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of questions about this whole Professor Onyx thing. It makes me think of Pokemon, doesn't it, that name?
Does.
And frankly, that ability doesn't seem to have a whole lot to do with the rest of the card. The +1 seems kind of blue. I mean, like, obviously you're losing a life to do it, but the, like, basically, like, kind of scry, put some stuff in your graveyard and draw a card, like, kind of sets up some blue spell-based stuff in a way that I would expect to see on, like a blue X, like, gold Planeswalker. So, I don't know, I'm getting a lot of weird, different vibes from this one, and it's kind of the old trope of the plus ability is some kind of, like, fixing or drawing, the minus ability is some kind of destroy creature, and then the -8 is some kind of irrelevant, like, you win the game.
Yep.
So, I don't know. 6 mana, big barrier, though. I have to say that much.
Yeah.
What do you think of the theme of this set, Daryl? You like this?
That's like a school?
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It lets me free roll fractals, basically. It's the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, before I can make a really good judgment on that, I would need to see more of the set and just be like, oh, this is good, or oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Obvious comparison to like Harry Potter. And I mentioned that earlier, but, that aside, I think the concept of, you know, this being the school for mages is kind of fun. It's kind of like some untapped ground that they haven't dealt with. I like the idea of like WotC kind of getting involved in like other IPs casually, like, you know, in like these adjacent themings where it's like, yeah, like Harry Potter's out there, but we're not like straight up going to do a Harry Potter set. We're just going to do this thing that like kind of has echoes of Harry Potter ideas. And so people that enjoy Harry Potter can be like, oh, here are my favorite magic characters, like kind of cosplaying as, you know, Professor McGonagall or whatever.
Yeah, kind of doing it.
Yeah, of course, we all know that that's not really how they're rolling these days, because we are going to get plenty of IP crossovers given the recent announcements. So that can be left for another conversation. All right. All right, we got to move on in the interest of time, then keep on our schedule, our 30-minute fun-sized chunk. I think that takes us to the Historic Anthology, then. So this thing is out. Announced at the beginning of March, available starting March 11th already. The cost is 4,000 gems or 25,000 gold, which, what does that translate to? I think that's roughly like $20. And I don't know off the top of my head how that compares to the cost of the other anthologies, but I'll leave this up to you to decide if this is, you know, worthwhile price-wise. So here's what this one includes. Historic Anthology 4. For those who aren't in the know, this is a collection of cards curated to be included into Historic, released only on MTG Arena. You can purchase the set. You get four of all of these cards for that cost, 4,000 gems or 25,000 gold. But you can also just craft all of these cards too. So keep that in mind. Like, for example, Thraven Inspector is in this mix. That's a common. You basically just get it, right? Like, everyone's got a billion common wild cards laying around. So you can just have Thraven Inspector. Now, the rares and the mythics are a little harder to come by. So if there's even like two of them that are worth, you know, crafting, you almost might as well just pay the amount to get the whole set. So that's kind of how it breaks down. So, all right, here's what it includes. Triumphant Reckoning, which is six white, return all artifact, enchantment, and planeswalker cards from the graveyard to the battlefield. I'm not going to read all of them, by the way. That was just a weird one. Deck in Stone, Declaration in Stone. Thraven Inspector. Sure. Then a couple of flashback cards. Think Twice, Spider Spawning, and Adorned Pouncer. Spider Spawning, a big limited player back in its time. Adorned Pouncer, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
Historic and Chill. So here's a Historic and Chill. That's kind of crude. here's some Snow Love. And Daryl, I think you'll appreciate some Merit Lage's Slumber given your recent musings with Modern Snow. That one's included, as well as Iceberg Cancrix. Cancrix? Cancrix. It's a snow crab that whenever you play a snow permanent, have target player mill two cards. Sword of Body and Mind. Bad sword, but it's a sword.
Yeah.
Goblin.
Sword's a sword, man.
Goblin Gavalier, which is gets +2/+0 for each equipment attached to it. It's a red 1/1 trample for one. Bone Splitter, the OG equipment. We've also got Torment of Scarabs, Flame Blade Adept, which will be beloved for the red decks, and Faith of the Devoted. Some more elves. Lys Olana Huntmaster. And Abomination of Llanowar. Where did this guy come from, Abomination of Llanowar? I don't remember seeing this card.
I think he's like some sort of commandery product thing.
Oh, that must be what it is, yeah. This one, one black green for an XX Vigilance Menace. It has power and toughness equal to the number of elves you control, plus the number of elves in your graveyard. Then there's a little artifact suite here, Inspiring Statuary, Cold Steel Heart, and Blink Moth Nexus. Then we have Hazma, Guardian of Arashin. I'm not even bother reading that card. It's kind of bad. And Amit Eternal, which is the 5/5 Afflict dude from Hour of Devastation. Sawtooth Demolisher, which is a mutate card, which is actually pretty damn good. This must be another commander set card. Mutates, destroy target non-creature permanent. Its controller creates a 3/3 green beast token. Also, Harmless Offering and Collected Conjuring. And then they finish things off with Death's Shadow, which is the big splashy reveal here. So, Daryl, I know you're not a Historic player, but what are your initial impressions of this collection of cards?
They don't really make a ton of sense, but
they never really do.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I was kind of understanding that things that my understanding of it was correct, that this doesn't make a ton of sense, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's these are just kind of like cards that they seem to think, like when there's a couple of elves printed, there are already elf decks in Historic. You know, I don't think they dared print any more goblins because the goblins deck is already kind of bonkers. But they're considering not only just like the playability of like Historic proper decks, but also like the Historic Artisan events, which are the uncommon and common only Historic events. And in that case, like things like Lys Olana Huntmaster, Abomination of Llanowar have a much bigger impact. I ended up playing like a green black elves deck in Historic Artisan, and with Abomination of Llanowar, that's like a huge splashy uncommon that has like, you know, basically the equivalent mythic level power in that format, in that, you know, in that vacuum. So I think those are good types of inclusions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think the one that we got to talk about, though, is Death's Shadow. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, that, I was actually going to segue to Death's Shadow because that's just, you know, we're a format with Thoughtseize. We don't really need Death's Shadow. You know, like, That's kind of my opinion on it.
So we've got, not only do we have Thoughtseize, we've also got the flip lands that can come into play untapped at the cost of three life, such as Aghanim's Awakening.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Now, the tricky stuff with Death Shadow in Modern is really that when you have your fetch land sitting around, you can just have them, like, ready. You can have your finger on the trigger. You can cash in on them when you want to at instant speed. You can cash in on them just for basics if you want to lose less life. And you've also got, like, Street Wraith to, like, instant speed cycle through. So there are lots fewer options for that in Historic. And frankly, I haven't seen this card being played at all yet in Historic. But that doesn't mean people aren't going to try. And that doesn't mean future anthologies aren't going to print cards that are really going to push the playability of this type of archetype. But we shall see. Now, we also have Ranger Captain, or what are the 3-mana of Eos card that can find a 1-drop. So, you know, we've seen the black-white X Death Shadow variants in Modern. There's Esper, there's Mardu, Shadow, and both of them tend to run, you know, those types of cards so that you can play, like, the, is Ranger Captain, isn't it, the 3-mana one?
The one that fetches a 1-mana card and sacks to silence, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can silence them on your turn that you're going to go off with your, like, double striking card. So I think that's a pretty important thing to remember with this deck, and gives you a functional 4 more copies of it, too, so... Yeah. To try to build with that.
Okay.
I have to say, go on.
I mean, I just like that they're trying to infuse, like, not over the top cards. Like, they're not trying to push Path to Exile in or whatever. You know, here's something close, Declaration stuff. You know, so we're close. Not like pushing. It's close. Yeah. You're getting a functional exile removal spell. The drawback is about as bad as Paths is.
So. Yeah.
But I mean, they're kind of making the declaration that they don't want it to be a lightning bolt format. So it's like, it makes sense.
Yeah. I was pretty disappointed with this collection of cards, I have to say. The previous ones had a lot more promise to them. I certainly wasn't, like, itching to, like, you know, save up the gold or the gems to cash in for this stuff. There's not enough here that really makes me want to try it. But there are a few things that I'd want to craft. Like, Blink Moth Nexus seems pretty powerful, obviously. And I do want to try Death Shadow. But a lot of them are commons and uncommons that are the most appealing to me. Like, I think Flameblade Adept probably has some potential. And I'm not sure what that looks like yet. But there's eventually will be enough cards for that to be playable. Thraven Inspector is great. I like that one a lot. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Where to next?
Real quick, just while we're on the topic of Historic, I just want to share this list that I came across. I was just kind of like scrounging through the Historic metagames, because the latest set, Kaldheim, hasn't had a big impact on this format in particular, and honestly, this anthology hasn't yet. So I was kind of looking for something new and interesting to play, and we had an episode where we talked quite a bit about Pyre of Heroes, which is the faux birthing pod, basically the tribal birthing pod. And I was lucky enough to come across a faux birthing pod deck in Historic, and that is 5-color humans. So you don't have a whole lot of choices for combos in this format, but there are quite a few humans that have very utility values and can do those kind of like silver bullet roles. And so generally speaking, the idea here is to play humans on up through Samut, Voice of Dissent, which is the Double Strike Vigilance Haste guy, or Massacre Girl, or the other big one is Hostage Taker is probably your best target. There's 3 copies of Hostage Taker in this deck.
God, I wish there was a human that blinked humans so that we could just hostage take them into the ground.
That would be awesome. There is that angel that will do it, but it's awfully slow.
It's not a human.
Yeah, but with the changelings, though, you do have a pivot, though. That's the thing. Like, there's 2 masked vandals in this deck, and so like what you can do is you can go from like you can birthing pod one of your gilded geese or land war elves into a changeling, and then go from there into a human, a 3-drop human.
Oh, I wondered why there were 1-drop creatures in this deck that were not humans. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, mana acceleration, but
I did not think of the changeling.
Yeah. So this deck, I'll just read down the creatures because it's kind of a mouthful to go through all the numbers and everything. But it's got some Gilded Geese, some Llanowar Elves, of course, four of each. Acquisitions Expert is the enters the battlefield, look at their hand and grab some stuff out of it based on the number of different creature types in your adventuring party. Now, you do have usually about three of them that you can cover with this guy, and the Mass Vandals help. Mass Vandal is a big part of the deck. That's a great card. So Mass Vandal, obviously. Thalia. Illyrios Enraptured. That's the 2 and a blue, 2/3 legendary creature human. Enters the battlefield tapped, doesn't untap. And it gives you a 3/2 reflection token when it comes into play. So it's kind of like a free token when, you know, when you're working your way through the chain. Baron, Talarian Archmage, which is the Mana War. Renegade Rallier, obviously great because you can pod a 2-drop into a Renegade Rallier and get that 2-drop back. We got Rogue Refiner. Go ahead.
Okay. I like Rogue Refiner. I like blue-green things that draw me cards.
Yeah. And then the energy is non-zero too because you play Aether Hub in this deck because you're 4 color or 5 colors. Acolyte of Affliction enters battlefield, put the top 2 cards of your library into the graveyard, return a permanent from the graveyard to your hand. Elite Guard Mage, most of these are 1-drops at this point. A Hakdos the Unscarred, that's the 6/1 that attacks each combat if able and enters the battlefield, choose 2, 3, or 4 at random, and it has protection from each converted mana cost other than the chosen number. Hostage Taker, 3 of those. Maja, Brett Guard Protector, 5 mana, 2/3. Other creatures you control get +1/+1. Land enters battlefield, put a 1/1 human token onto the battlefield. I got a Massacre Girl and a Samut, Voice of Descent. And then, of course, 4 Pyre of Heroes. And then the mana base is just a bunch of pathways. Sideboard, you've got tons of options. There's an awful lot of stuff that hasn't really been mentioned in the deck that you would think like probably belongs in the main, but this is a deck built for best of three. So the sideboard's got the Meddling Mages. I managed to sneak one into my main deck because I want it for, you know, best of one purposes. General Kudrow is also available. Judith the Scourge Diva, Kambal, Council of Allocation, Plague Crafter, Baird Steward of Argive, and then more Hostage Takers, of course. So, deck is a hell of a lot of fun. Not terribly consistent. The mana's tough, but it's a blast.
That deck sounds sweet. I'm terrible at attacking, so I'm going to leave that deck to you.
you do attack, but it often gets to the point where like you're wrecking your opponent so bad when you're winning that the combat math isn't terribly hard. because your Hostage Takers are just stealing all their creatures. And when you're not, you're getting your ass kicked. So it got me thinking, like, what other Pyre of Heroes decks can I build in Historic? And there's really not a whole lot at this point. Like, obviously, you can sneak it into, like, the Goblins deck. It kind of slows that deck down. It's not really worth doing because you can't get up to 6 very reasonably for Muxus. I tried it in Elves and then splashed white with Elves so that I could get the Tulsimir Wolfblood guy, the dude that puts the 3/3s into play, gives elves an option to like actually kill some creatures. So that was kind of cool.
Okay.
And then I tried an Esper Humans deck as well, but the 5-color one is just better. So I'm going to keep building on those and I'll share the results when I have them. But speaking of brewing. Yeah.
I see.
Speaking of brewing, what do you got update wise for your snow? Have you been playing that much more?
I have been playing a little bit more, kind of sticking in that same shell. Nothing really jumped off the page to me as something that was like, oh, this card just fixed everything. Just tweaking the numbers, 1s and 2s, just trying to make sure that realistically we have all the things we need in the sideboard to be able to interact with our opponents.
Yeah, that is modern snow for those that haven't been following along with our recent episodes. Daryl's been brewing a Sultai snow deck in modern that features Jorn and the likes of Merit Lage's Slumber, which we talked about in the Historic Anthology. Deck is a hell of a lot of fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, it hurts my brain sometimes.
Yeah, I believe it.
you can tell I'm tired from work, so like now is not the time I should be playing that deck. But it's definitely like trying to manipulate your way through not dying and timing like Icewind Codals correctly and things like that is definitely a reach.
Yeah. I did like the addition of Archmage's Charm. That was kind of a new add to the deck since the like early versions of it. And I was getting blown out. Like when I finally would get my Merit Lage's Slumber to like flip into Merit Lage's, my opponents would use their own charms to like steal my token. And I'd lose like a 20/20 indestructible token to a 3-mana instant. And I'd be like, oh shit, I worked hard on that. But now I could just like either steal it back or counter it. So it's like kind of perfect to have that option.
Like, but here's the thing, you didn't really work hard. You just kind of hung out and stayed alive and got rewarded by doing that.
Well, yeah, that's fair, but I'd also rather not die to it. That's the other thing.
Okay, so that's totally different than I worked so hard.
Fair enough.
You know, like, I'm just going to call a spade a spade. You know, I built the deck, and I know you're not working really hard to get this Feral Age's Slumber thing.
Just playing lands.
It's just, yeah, you're just hanging out, and it just kind of happens.
Well, Daryl, with with Merit Lage's Slumber, and now we got Cold Steel Heart in Historic. Does that get
you?
Give you some promise? Yeah, you got Snowlands.
You got Jorn. You just don't have like a thing that generates card advantage. Is the problem? So like it works in Modern because Icewind Codal is a card. And so you have like a recurrable, worthwhile thing to get back from the backside of Jorn. So I don't think until you get something similar to that for Historic will we see any validity in the idea of snow control in
Historic. Yeah. I'm wondering if there's any like chance for snow anything. Like the Iceberg Cantrix is kind of weird, or Cantrix, the mill guy. It's one in a blue for a 0/4 snow creature crab, snow crab, if you will. Whenever another snow permanent enters battlefield under your control, you may have target player mill 2 cards. It's just like so low effort to do a thing. And that thing could mean like very little if you're trying to mill your opponent and then this thing just dies before you can really like actually seal the deal. But it could also just like fill your graveyard with just tons of value for, you know, dredge like shenanigans at the cost of just playing your basic lands. So I don't know what's there. Maybe the crabs that we currently have are just better. We've already got the fake Hedron crab.
I think your thought of dredge like shenanigans is really where that card is going to excel.
Yeah,
you're not really going to get any like huge plays out of this card for non-dredge shenanigans things, I think.
Yeah,
so
fair enough. All right, man. Well, I think we can call it. We've done it under half an hour, maybe about a half an hour.
First time in history, I think.
Yeah, 28 minutes and 55 seconds. And I haven't had enough time to say that I'm going to play some Gloomhaven tonight. You ever played Gloomhaven?
I have not played Gloomhaven. I've actually been playing a different game recently. I got kind of, my buddies got me hooked onto a MOBA called Eternal Return.
Yeah.
So it's basically like zombie horror, not really zombies, but like survival.
Yeah.
And like you start with just like a crap, but it's also like a battle royal. So it's a survival battle royal.
MOBA zombie.
MOBA. Yeah. You like go around like, so instead of like most MOBAs, you do like you fight creeps and then like you have opponents in the thing too, right?
Yeah.
So instead of that, you just roam around and you like gather your items via recipes, and you like open boxes and try and find your items and stuff like that. So it's like that basically. Instead of like the laning phase, your laning phase is functionally like roaming around doing that. Mm-hmm. But then you just like but it's a battle royal in the way that like you can play with 1, 2, or 3 people. There are 18 people in the lobby. You all kind of scrabble over the same resource collection and then like fight each other that way.
Huh. It's on the computer, I take it, right?
It is a PC game, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man, my PC can't do games, but that does sound nice.
It's actually super fun, and the game, it's like super fast paced, which is a nice part. Like, I played a lot of League of Legends, and those games take like 30, 45, 50 minutes, and it's like, I don't know if I want to commit to that. But like, this game is like, the longest game I've played is like 20 minutes.
Nice. Well, if you have any interest in, and you do, I know you played Diablo before, but if you have any interest in like RPG, like hack and slash, like adventure type games, I highly, highly recommend Gloomhaven. And I know that probably a lot of Magic players are in the know about Gloomhaven already. You can pick up like Jaws of the Lion at Target, but we've been playing through the base game of Gloomhaven for about 2 straight years now. I've never played a game that long. It like comes with little boxes inside the box, which is like 20 pounds, by the way. It's like $100. But inside the box, you get 5 or 6 starting characters that have like little cardboard. They look like little pre-release boxes that you open with a deck of cards, because the combat is card-based. But as you go through the game, you level up these characters. They can level all the way up to level 9. And once you achieve their life goals, they all have different goals, you can unlock new characters. So there's like 13 characters in the box, and you only start with 5 of them. And the rest of them are all sealed away, and all you have is these symbols to identify them. So there's like a music note, and there's like a Triforce looking one, and you don't really know what's in the box. So when you unlock it, you get to like open the box and see like the little plastic figurine, and like get to see the cards, and like it's like that's the character you're gonna play next. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that is kind of sweet.
Yeah, we have unlocked all of them at this point, which takes a long ass time to do, by the way. But
so how close are you to the end of the game, I guess?
Oh my god, it's hundreds of hours to play. There are, I think, about 100 scenarios in it, and I want to say we're nearing the end of it. But I don't know how much longer we have left. Like, we've beat the main campaign at this point. We're just doing like the end game, like completionist stuff right now.
Sure. Yeah. So what are you gonna do after you finish? You gonna play it again? You gonna sell it? You gonna box it back up and let it rip? Like,
We do have Jaws of the Lion here, which is the smaller version. We'll play through that. We haven't even opened it yet. And then of course, like, the next edition comes out after that. So yeah, I'll probably sell it. I think it's probably in good enough shape where someone else could replay it. You don't have to like tear anything up. There are cards that you would sticker, but we haven't done any of that. But yeah, we'll probably go on to the next one and have another 2 years worth of campaigns after that.
Well, Godspeed.
Yeah, thanks. All right, man. Well, we'll call it, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Later.
Goodbye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Cardnock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.